praise the Lord. Watch me come alive. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome again to Training Day. Amen. I'm Brother Richard Overall, and I'm hosting this. This is the second segment of a new edition on Tuesdays. I also do a Saturday, for every fourth Saturday, on the RFCM.org website, Running for Christ. That's my brother, Pastor Gerald O. And you know, this is really exciting for me because, you know, it's amazing. I kind of feel like Moses. It's almost like God waited to, well, the end of, well, it's not the end of my life. It's just the middle, really, because I'm only 69, you know. If Jesus was to tarry, I'd live to be 120 and be in good health, too. Amen. But as I was, just to refresh your memory, Training Day. Training Day, you might say, is a seasoning on what you've been taught, or if you're new to Christ, what you're going to be taught. And what my objective is, what my assignment is to give you the why that life is the way it is. You know, for so long, I, as a young man, I asked why, and I was really just basically told, just believe it, just like it is, you know. But you know what? God is a he says in Proverbs 3:5-7, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know, and the word seek, if you cross-reference it in the Bible, you find it in there frequently. So that meant that God intent for you to know. I mean, it doesn't serve the purpose if you don't know. And like I said, so why do I have to live a certain way? Why do I have to act a certain way? Why do I have to talk a certain way? Well, there are reasons. And it is all about your makeup. Let us go before the throne of God. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity again to minister to your people, your word, your revelation, your understanding. And Father God, I ask that you bless the heart of each and every believer and receiver, those that are hearing today, those that are going to hear in the future, some of those that may even hear after the rapture. Because with time is moving, and you're the only one that have the calendar. And so, Father, I ask that you would bless me right now, that this would be all of you and none of me. Bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people, that they may understand. Amen. Bless them, Lord, with the spirit of wisdom. Bless those that need the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened so that they will know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of your glory. Bless them with the knowledge of your will. Give them the wisdom and the courage to carry it out so they can be fruitful in all good works. And bless them to grow in the knowledge of you. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Now, you know, I was at a decision as to, on the Saturday edition, I've been teaching on a controversial issue. Shouldn't be a controversy, but it is, has been since it came up in the Bible. I mean, I've read commentaries, and I'm talking about praying in tongues or praying in a language, and particularly a heavenly language. And the Bible talks It brings out that if you don't pay attention, you would think it's all the same, but it's not. And see, so there's various types of prayer, but I'm not getting there yet. Because the point here is that right now I want you to see that you as a person are not as simple. I mean, it should be apparent. I mean, you got like, 1,500 different types of basic components in your body for you to function that you control. They don't function autonomically. I mean, they try to science hook up machines, and that ain't bad, but they try to, and they got that. They learned how to do that from the observation of man. Let's, I want to go back in case there's somebody new, but I want you to keep in mind, and again, don't just listen. Seek God, for revelation. Because, see, I can give you information. Only God can give you revelation. And once he gives you a revelation, it's in there. And then it sinks. See, again, God is looking at the future. I know in our minds, we don't even think a billion years. We don't even think 1,000. We don't even think 2,000 years down the road. Because nobody here has been there. There was a time man lived almost that age. The oldest man that ever recorded living was Methuselah. And he was 969 years old. Those were facts documented by Moses. And that's because God told him about it. But the point is that God has an ultimate goal. He is the ruler of the universe. But he decided that he wants a family to rule it with him. And let's read one of our base scriptures. And that's found in 1 John. That's in, if you knew, that's near the back of the Bible. There are four books of John. There's the book of John, and then there's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Back near the book of Revelation. And anyway, it says, and I'm reading from the NIV, and it says, "Dear friends, we are the children of God. And what we will be has not been made known. But we know that when he being Jesus, when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Now, and I want to read Philippians 3:21. I'll give you a minute. You know, the one thing you have to, don't read the Bible like a book of cliches. I see that with Christians. I know people can quote scripture. I knew somebody they could quote. I would purposely misquote scripture, and they would always correct me to the letter. See? But yet at the same time, they did not have full comprehension of what this is about. And I'm not talking about knowing everything. But I'm talking about they set themselves at a level. They picked a level that they wouldn't go past. And when you have to be able to basically, you have to see that God is not a low-level person. I mean, he wants us to come to his level. And that's why and when you do mature and when you do go to that level, he begin to reveal more things to you. I mean, you think about it, like I have a friend that's a doctor. He's a neurosurgeon, and so he sees life in a whole different. He sees this in another whole level. And there's life within the life of the life, and then there's life within the life. That's why we have the word infinity. Scientists are finding out. You know, I remember reading a book. I wish I knew the name of the book because I'd love to get another copy of it. I'd love somebody to read it. I stopped doing that because I don't think they intend to be dishonest, but if I get your book, I'm going to give you your book back and go buy a copy if I really like it that much. Anyway, and in this book, it was 21 scientists, and they were going to put the issue of there is a God to rest. They were going to settle the issue. These are 21 atheists. And so what they started doing is researching life and everything around it. Anyway, at the end of the book, they all came to the conclusion that it cannot. They introduced me to a number. I might have said this before, and I'm going to repeat it in the future. A number called 9 million. The probability of there not being a God was like 7 9 million to 1. Now, 9 million, the zeros are so many that they wrap the Earth 63 times. Now, think about that. I mean, it's just impossible. I mean, come on, look. You got to look at this reality. But see, we're just at the glimpse. I don't think we can hold the information that God can give us. I mean, this is why he speaks so slow. He had to slow his speech down to communicate with us. You know, that's where we are. Now, I understand he built us like this. And the reason, and remember this, because I'm going to repeat this. The reason we were made the way we were made is one, to be recognize that we are submissive to Him. We belong to Him. He is above us. Because if you look at life and you look at what people do with money and power, that tells you why God has such a strong mandate on love. Okay? Love is the foundation. And I think I'm going to touch on that today because I'm going to be using that reference, and I want you to know what I'm talking about when I mention love, because people think of love the way that they see it, the way the French thought it, the way they feel about it. I'm talking about whenever I mention love, I'm talking about agape love, as they call it, the God kind of love. Because without the God, if God didn't have the kind of love that He had, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Philippians 3:21, I'm going to start with 20, and it says, for our conversation, or as in the NIV, it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Now, I want to go back to where we were in Genesis chapter 2, where we got into the creation of man. And, you know, the Bible, most of us, the Bible students, once God become a person and you passed Him being a religion, the Bible becomes a storehouse of revelation and knowledge and information about a life that we barely understand. See, we get so caught up. If you look at the average person, they get caught up with the toys of life. You know, it's ironic that the Bible, the word adult is nowhere in the Bible. Okay? And you can see it in people. I mean, I've had the experience to visit with a lot of different people, right? And I noticed something. I've gone to people. I thought my garage has a car in there, okay? And there's room in there. I can walk around. I've been to people. Their whole garage is full. If your whole garage is full, you need to have a garage giveaway. Really. You need to sell everything in there for $5 because it's been there. You ain't going to use it again. It's outdated or old. Get that stuff away. And, you know, there's no need. If you give it away, God will give you more. He'll give you better. But this is where we are. We want a sense. People hold on because that's part of their reality. I learned that from talking with a homeless guy. You were pushing a buggy down the street. And I was amazed at the character, who he was. You have people that were highly educated, but the information that I'm sharing with you now, they didn't have. And because they didn't have that, they could not grasp why life's so crazy at times and how to deal with it. And even those of us that have some idea called Christians, we've done a bad job at it. But, you know, I'll put it like this. The 70s brought a lot of revolution on all different fronts, but particularly in the body of Christ. My generation began to ask questions because we began, it's really amazing. I had an experience, what I'll never forget it, because I went to visit, at that time I was a single young man and I was searching. And I met this young lady, and she went to this particular church. And I didn't know the church that I went to. Everybody, they didn't tell you to bring a Bible. You just knew to bring one because the pastor was going to be reading out of it, and he wanted you to follow along according to the Bible. He'd tell you. And so I go to a church they didn't have Bibles, and the pastor almost in a way kind of slightly called me out. It's basically, he said, people bringing Bibles up in here trying to check out on what I say. Well, you know, the pastor I am under now, he has a phrase. He said, if it ain't in the Bible, you ain't obligated to believe it. And he only tells you what's in the Bible. He don't tell you what's in his imagination. And he will tell you if he don't know something. You know, because the Bible is, you know, some things I think God is only going to reveal afterward, because we're running out of time, and there's some things I'm curious about, but apparently, like the book of Ezekiel, it's got some deep stuff in there, but, you know, apparently we're not supposed to know it just yet, but it don't matter, because it does not have anything to do with us getting to eternal life. Okay, that's one of the things. But everything you need to know for eternal life, you can know. Now, we were talking about, if you remember, we talked about Adam, amen. We talked about creation. We talked about the difference between how God called the animals to be out of the earth, but he made man distinctly. And I said something that you would rarely hear, but it is a fact. If God had not made Adam a body, he would have made Adam another god equal to him, because that's the only power he had. And it is the responsibility of a person and the magnitude of that power level that mandates that we be in submission to God and learn from him what it is to be a god. God is the only one that can teach us to be a god. He's a big G, capital G, Theos in some places in the Bible, El Elohim. He's a capital G. But the authority in the earth, we went back, Genesis 1:26, he gave man dominion. That's an important word, dominion. It's different. It's not, you know, it has to read that way, because that right now we have dominion. God is looking at, with the chaos in the world right now, God is he's not watching anybody but those who are called by his name. And I'm getting ready to address some issues outside of this I'm talking about. I'm getting ready to send a letter to a pastor, because we're not doing what we can do. And this is the hour for us to step up and be the front. The body of Christ has the only answer, the only cure for coronavirus. And God is looking for the body of Christ to bring it forth. God ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it. We have our generation. I'm sitting up here looking at a computer screen with four Bibles on it. And then Paul would love to have had all this. Paul was writing and running at the same time, trying to stay out of jail. When he got in jail, he kept on writing, and he writing stuff, and he just obeyed and wrote it. And then they were doing things. They just obeyed God. They didn't have time to analyze it and test it out like we have had. Paul didn't have a car to get around. He walked through hills and mountainsides and had to deal with some of everything to go. Like we talk about walking on certain parts, certain neighborhoods. He had to walk through all those neighborhoods where people would rob you and beat you and kill you just because. Because Satan, he's been here since we've been here. And that's the other issue. Why did God let Satan exist? He's not. God is. He's invisible to you. Satan is invisible to you, but he is not invisible to God. So what is the purpose? See? So the purpose is part. He's a training tool. And I might have mentioned, and I'm going to mention it now. When you're in training, like in the military or in law enforcement, you train against an enemy. They you know, one side, one group dress up, and they become the enemy. And you learn, they teach you the tactics to address them, and that's what you do with it. So this is what God does. But see, you need a God-level being to train a God-level being. Satan is an angel. Well, he's an angel. Okay, he's a little bit, his physical limitations are higher than man temporarily, presently. And the reason, but his authority is actually lower than man, or I would put it like this, lower than Christian. He's above everybody else. See, he can't really, and the only Christians that he overcome are those that are ignorant of or have no knowledge of their authority. And there are many of them, and it's sad, because some people, they just teach that they're supposed to be on the weak end. They're supposed to suffer. That ain't written. I mean, it's something you'll know, but even when you get, I've been there. See, we have to open our minds past religion. You know, there's something, like I said, there's no instructions in the Bible on how to drive a car, okay? But yet and still, some things I've had the experience with recently where I've had to ask God how to do something. He wants primary reasons for Jesus Christ, resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection, is so that you can have that one-on-one, which we're going to get to right here with Adam. He wants that one-on-one. And you got to open your mind up that this is not, remember, when Adam came, there were no churches. there were no churches. There were no Bibles. Matter of fact, everybody that you read about in the Bible never had a Bible, not like you got. So it ain't about religion. It's about the relationship of man to God and the future. Now, when you think about the word eternal, 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 if you don't have the revelation of an eternal, that's on your end. It ain't that God didn't put it out there. You don't receive it. But anyway, I'm here to, like I say, give details. At the end, I'll give you a website, an email address where you can send questions, and we're going to get on with this. So we are in Genesis chapter 2, and we are at verse 7. And it says, "And the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, I'm going to make soul individual simple for you. It's an individual, separate from the whole, part of the whole, but separate from the whole, okay? That means he actually have in there is a suke. It's the same thing as when you turn on, when your computer is off, it's not doing anything. And then when you turn, you hit the on button, it's all the information that's in the hard drive, that's on service, you have access to. And that's what it means with soul. Now, the access is he became a soul. I think I want to go to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, because I want you to you have to understand the makeup of man. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn here with you, and we're going to verse 23. First Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 23, the Thessalonians have an interesting history. you go to Wikipedia, has a lot of good information on them. And the thing you had to understand is that they were Gentiles, but they were, God was, remember, all men came from Adam. Okay? So, you know, there was a division down the line, believers versus unbelievers. But what I want you to understand, this is what I want to point out here. And Paul is talking to them, and he's giving them some statutes to live by. Then he addresses an issue, and he talks about in the very God of peace, talking about the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, that created Adam, sanctify you wholly, and I pray the God of your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what all I want you to get out of this right here is that he breaks down the anatomy of man. And at the macro level, he is a spirit. Man is a spirit. Man is not a soul. Man is a spirit. You have a soul. Man is a spirit. You have a soul. When God breathed, he breathed spirit. He breathed the intellectual capability to manage the body, the soul, and the body. He breathed the intellectual capability to manage the soul and the body. The soul is your mind, will, and emotion. It's not something that I can cut you open and see. I can only know it by communicating with you. I can only know it by things you do, by decisions you make. Your body, I can see, but your soul, I cannot. Your spirit is housed in a different part of your body. Your soul, look, it's kind of like a server versus hard drive on a computer. Your brain and your soul is your hard drive. Your spirit, however, has all the knowledge. It has all the knowledge of God. See, so you can't claim when I see these people, and I understand. See, some people have been allowed more access to their spirit than others, and you see sometimes it's sad that when they get this, we call them geniuses. You know what? Compared to God, you can put all the geniuses there are together, and you'll come up with a moron. And listen, let me tell you about a genius, a true genius. A true genius can walk on water. And if you can't walk on water, we call you a genius, but you have high access to intelligence. We call you highly intelligent. But the reality is, if you can't walk on water, if you can't fly, if you can't walk through a wall, you're just a real smart person. So you know a little bit more, but you know it's sad that most of them, listen, real success in life is not only to make it through this life, but to gain eternal life with Christ. If you end up in hell, you fail, because that just meant you was a dummy. Satan tricked you real well. You're going to find out this dude is he's a highly intelligent individual. He has a lot of, in other words, he has accumulated a lot of information. He's had 5,000-6,000 years to study. So, and none of us have been here that long, even though we have access to it. And it's only because of the way that you watch people behave when they think they know it all is why God don't let a whole lot of people have that. We would have wars unbelievable. It would be craziness. If you think it's crazy, nah. Let that number grow. I mean, look at right now. God has had to stop everything. Well, he allowed everything to stop. Let me make that clear. He allowed everything. He does allow some things. He's allowing some things. I know people might disagree with that. I took note of something that happened with Corona. In a three-month period, almost 200 pastors died, and that has never happened in the history of mankind. God has always held a hedge around them. Then none of them are perfect, okay? And all of them probably, the smart ones I know, regardless, would have made sure that they left here right with God. I know I would. even if you ain't done nothing, you would make sure you covered by the blood. The fact that it happened, that's what caught my attention. I even had a friend of mine that really shocked me. I knew two sanctified men that one was leading a prayer war against coronavirus. And in the process of that, let me tell you about prayer when we get to that. When you're praying, when a person actually prays, there's a transition that actually occurs. When it says go before the throne of God, that's what happened. God allowed it. Christ, you have to understand what Christ means. Christ in you is a layer of protection for your human soul to be in the presence of God. Otherwise, you die. God's presence automatically corrects. There ain't no dirty people in heaven. Ain't no sinners in heaven. That's why you have to be saved. That's why you have to be saved. That's why you have to be saved. That's what Jesus is about. You couldn't get there. You have to understand your makeup. That's what I'm you got to stick with this, because I can't run through this. I don't need to. Churches teach on this. This is why you have to go to church. And what I want you to understand is when your pastor is breaking stuff down, he's not trying to control your life and limit you. He's trying to help you understand because of the power that have been given to you, you have to learn to manage it under pressure too. You know, under pressure. You get stronger, you feel less pressure. Okay. So we're talking about a glorified body. We're talking about the fact that here I want you to see. I'm still trying to draw a picture as best I can. What happened when God made Adam? Because see, we read that and God breathed into the Adam and he breathed and he became a living soul. You know, you really need to break that down because. It's the equivalent of it's like grabbing hold of electricity. It's giving people he empowered a person. He created a person with power, enormous power. Adam had the same power that Jesus had. He just never got to the place where he could access it. There's no second level. There's no second level. That's why the criticality. That's a new word just added to the dictionary. It's so necessary. This is what I'm saying to you. See, I'm particularly pointing at the millennials and Gen Zs. But I know some boomers probably listening, but the millennials and the Gen Z, see, y'all come into a different world. Y'all come into a world, you will never probably ever have the experience of putting cardboard in your shoes. Lack is I'd be surprised when people haven't lacked today. You know, if they're not organically brain dead, they're lazy. Because God can get it done easier now than he could back then. He's always wanted to bless. But everything is packaged together. You know, you can't disconnect one part from the other. That's when it becomes religion. See, all of this should be a learning affair to prepare you. And everything that happens, like they say, all things work together for the good that are called of God. Okay? Now, the main point that I want you to understand is, see, God made an empowered person. Everybody born after Adam is an empowered person. But they have to learn to manage that power. And prayer. Prayer automatic. The word prayer. Now you can go in and look in the Hebrew dictionary and in the Greek dictionary and get a Greek and Hebrew definition. But let me give you a definition that you really need to understand. It really dawned on me because I served in law enforcement and I was in court and I heard an attorney after he addressed his petition to the judge. He used the phrase, and this is what we pray, Your Honor. And that burned in my head. I'm like, wow. What do you do when you pray? You go to someone that is greater than you with the ability and the authority to grant what you want. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about that, but prayer. Now, the reason I use a term, a phrase, and I say prayer is God trusting you with his power. Now, you got to look at this in the light of the fact that God gave man dominion. So to access the power, you have to go to God. You're here on earth, and you have to go to God. Nobody in heaven can pray for you except Jesus. Okay? You do the praying. And I know y'all that, you know, listen, stop praying for dead people. You don't need to. That's a done deal. There's no prayer for the dead. You can't pray for the dead to get right. Anybody told you that, can't show that to you in the Bible, you know, and once they leave here, they gone. That's it. If they didn't make it to heaven, ain't nothing you can do about it. You can't, it just can't. What Jesus didn't pay for can't be paid for. Okay, but prayer. So when you're praying, you're doing what? You're taking legal action. You're taking legal advantage that you've been given through Jesus Christ to address God on issues. see, and I can tell you now, you have to learn to have spiritual logic, because spiritual logic, different than human logic, spiritual logic recognizes the reality that what it says in the Bible is what it is. That's just the truth, okay? Because look at what's going on. God gives you authority to address him. Now, because what you will hear and you see, I see it frequently, I'm still seeing it frequently. When I be on Facebook, people asking God to do something he cannot do. There's something, listen, cannot isn't about whether he's capable of doing. The cannot is it legal for him to do it? And God will not violate his word. Listen, he put man in charge, and at this particular time, Christians are in charge, and if they don't pray, God don't answer. Everybody, I know people can, they can ask God, and if God can, this is what happens when a non-Christian asks God for something. What, and God has to find a Christian that he can get to pray for that person, so that he can answer that person, because God just so full of love, he wants to do it. He wants them to believe. And at the same time, he will be working to get somebody in touch with that person so that they can get the true legal authority to pray themselves. See, and the reality of what's going on now, though, and this is why pastors have to be in touch with God, is that is harder to do. Satan is closing the door. He's focusing. And he's really focusing on America, because the biggest group of Christians on the planet is in America. See, so all these things, now you say, what has this got to do with? Well, see, this is what the whole point of the matter is. What does this have to do with the creation of man? All of it is part of the training. It is part of learning to use the authority that God gave us. And we have to use it in the manner that it is described in the Bible, the way it's laid out. Just like when you went to your job, when you went to school, you know, we don't get to that place where we get to do it our way. Now, that's one thing different. See, the most you can evolve to in here is what you learned that's in the Word of God already. But you don't get you see people do that. Like, for instance, the people that burning candles. Now, they get that from the Old Testament. And they didn't burn candles, they burned incense. But we don't burn incense with prayer now. That was a what is called a shadow and a type. In other words, it was something physical done to represent the spiritual now. Now, spiritual is not imaginary either. The spiritual world is more real than the world you're in now. The proof of that is, it's in the spiritual world, everything stay and is. Any things you see right now, you're going to see cars rust, houses fall down, people die. This is the temporary world. This is temporal. This is not the real world. This is a facsimile of the real world. Earth is a copy of heaven. See, so this is all temporary. And what happened is we become so engrossed with this physical that we want it more than the spiritual. And that's what a baby does. that's a sign of immaturity. You just caught up with stuff. And you let people become your God. You let people judge you based on what you have and don't have. And it all falls apart. That's why that's same thing with people that got a garage full of stuff. Why do they have a garage full of stuff? Why don't they want somebody else to have it? There are people that can't afford it. They can give it to. They can bless somebody else's life. It all counts. See, the point of the matter is, see, but it's that's part of dealing with the challenge of life. Dealing with the challenge of life, see. When we go back, okay, we done covered that, right? Man is a spirit. So let's go back to see what went on with Adam, okay? Let's go back to Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. And well, wait a minute. Let me go back to Genesis chapter 2. Okay, and then let's go back, and then God, it said, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into him. That was the word ruah. That was issuing of his spirit, issuing of his spirit, the breath of life. That is in the Hebrew Bible, it really gets into the depth of that. But the fact of the matter is God put his spirit in there, and man became a soul. That means you became a person responsible for a territory. The outlines of your body, you're responsible for everything your body do. I mean, this is why we lock people up. We don't lock people up in Michigan for what they do in California. You lock a person up in Michigan for what they do in Michigan. And that's what it is right there. Now, understand, Adam just got here. Now, you're wondering, you're like, well, God could have just set everything in order. That's why I'm here, to explain why he didn't. And I cannot see it in one sentence, and you get it. Because if it was that simple, the Bible would have like one page. But it don't. It has thousands of pages, hundreds of thousands of chapters, millions of words, because it is a complex issue. And it's sad that people know more about everything else but God. I chose the latter. I chose to want to know more about him than anything. Most fascinating, the more time you spend with God trying to learn about God, the more he will show you, and you will get to, believe me, you'll get to the point where you will just, you won't tell people everything you know. That's for sure. Okay, and the Lord God planted, in verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put man whom he had formed. And which is, as my pastor said, and I agree, the first thing God gave Adam was a job. You know, something wrong with a man that don't want to work. I don't know. It's just natural for me to want to work. I've never been unemployed more than 6 months in my life. And at times I've held as many as 3 jobs at one time. You do what you have to do. That's what's going on right now. A lot of what's going on right now is people that don't have, they're Christians. You know, if there's a Christian, I've never been evicted. If you get evicted, there's something wrong with your communication with God. Priorities are wrong. Because God is not, and I say this because I am by far not a perfect person. I mean, I don't even know why people, I don't know, maybe they have a better past than I do. I don't like my past just going back as a Christian. I don't like my past. I don't even want to go back 10 years. I don't like, because I see stuff and I'm like, boy, that was retarded. But I've never been evicted, despite that. Because I learned something from David. This is something to remember. This is an important point. When you mess up, don't Lord, I would have, but. Don't but. Just say, Lord, I messed up. Show me how not to mess up again, and I'm sorry. That's all God wants. Don't give him no excuses. Because he knows. When God created male and female, created he them, at that point, now know what that's in the book of Genesis. But in the book of Genesis, God knew, he knew what you going to do 10 months from now. He knew in the book of Genesis what you're going to do 10 months from now, right or wrong. See, so, but the reality is, you're learning. You just got to learn the pieces. All I'm doing is putting the pieces of the puzzle on the table. That you're a human, you're a man, you're a huge man. Huge man. See, the simplicity of that is, without you, I couldn't see you. But you'd be a soul. Okay, just like this, people walking around right now, but then another dimension. So God gave Adam a job, and on and on and on. And then we get to chapter 3, okay? And this is where the trouble began. Now, you know, because the very first time I read this, I wanted to know then, why did God let this dude exist? And I didn't know none of what I know now. I'm just reading through because I'm like, if this the trouble, why let the trouble exist? See? Well, We're going to get to them. We're going to get there today, too. We're going to get to it, but we're going to have to break it down for you. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field in which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, this is out of Eve, by the way. I skipped that part where God made Eve as his wife. Amen. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall eat, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall surely not die. That's one of the key factors about Satan. He pervert truth, otherwise known as a lie. God does know that in that day you shall eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, the definition of the word God in this one here is a actually, it's a small word. It's Elohim. Now, like I said earlier, there's El Elohim, which is God, and then there's Elohim, and it's the same as you're the person of authority. If they keep it simple, you shall be. But you see, the issue here is that Satan didn't lie; he just perverted the truth. In other words, it wasn't time. They had not been instructed. It's like giving a 15-year-old the keys to the car when he, in this state, he has to wait till he's 16-year-old to drive. And he has to go through driver's training. They had not learned that part yet, see. So this is the thing here is this is the whole of life. You don't want to go through life not knowing specifically what the will of God is or what the direction of God is or what the revelation of God is. Now, I want you to I'm going to Revelation chapter 1, and verse 6. Because bear this in mind, write this down, because we're going to be touching on this throughout the Bible. It says, I'm going to just read this verse, because I'm running out of time here. I'm going to read part of verse 5. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sin, that's B in Revelation 1:5b. And has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve the Father. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Now, let me show you a distinct difference. Now, this is the King James Version. It says in verse 6, and it says, has made us kings and priests unto God, his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, this is the plan of God. The thing is, it may seem like it don't make a difference by using the term kingdom of priests. A kingdom has made us to be a kingdom. But understand where there's a kingdom, there's a king. There's a person in authority and a leadership. And then there are priests. Later on, we're going to learn who priests are. Right now, the priests in the earth are the royal priesthood. And that's another sad reality. You know, there's a battle going on right now in the state of California in which a pastor is, the state is thinking from a whole point of view, not just the church. They have to think about people that don't belong to the church and I realize the challenge. It is not. This is my opinion. I don't see. I look at the fact that Satan is the one, the attacker. He's the one that unleashed Corona. But the fact is, what is not happening is the priesthood. The priesthood right now, like I said earlier, that I'm going to be writing some major pastors, and just to suggest, they have to bring forth the priesthood, put them to work. That's the resolution to this. This is what God will not answer. See, we're right now, I'm watching people pray prayers that God can't answer. See, you know what? Part of what's going on is the answer to God bless America. For God to bless, he has to correct first. And it's so out of order, I'm surprised he ain't rained down fire and brimstone. But, you know, I heard a message years ago, and it was called Know What You're Asking For. We ask for stuff without knowing all the details connected to it. We just assuming that it sounds good, it's good, but it ain't always that way. When you just generalize, a lot of time God ignore it because he'd have to shake up some stuff. This is why people's lives, we leave out parts of what's going on. I do not let the reality that Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, and that I've been given specific instructions on what I'm supposed to do. Prayer has conditions. One of the most known quoted scriptures I've been seeing is 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it says, 1, if my people, 2, who are called by my name, 3, if who will humble themselves and turn from their wicked way. Now, see, they want to be my people called by his name. They want the nation healed, but they don't want to turn from their wicked ways. And God is not going to the whole point of letting all this happen is because if you're submissive to God, you're going to do what's required. You're going to turn from your wicked ways. See, this is what Satan, Satan was testing. He knew it got him kicked out of heaven, being rebellious. We're going to talk about that next time. You make a note. Yep, I already got it noted. That was part of the lesson for today. Satan got kicked out of heaven because he rebelled. Let me tell you a key with God. One of the best lessons I was taught. Do what God say, how God say, when God say, where God say, the way God say. Because when you read the book of, like the book of Leviticus and the book of Exodus, and God is laying out all the laws back then, what he told Moses, when you read Moses go to the people, I did a thorough check on this because I was concerned about the duplicity. What God said, word for word, when Moses went to the people, he said word for word. Didn't change a word. See, it's like I'm saying, that's with God. See, so that way, the responsibility falls on him. See, now, like I said, man has the authority in the earth. We can ask God to do something. The issue, I ask people just out of curiosity, do you have that relationship with God where you can? Okay, so I'm down to the last minute, and we're going to pick up right there on the authority of man, how man is supposed to utilize that authority, because it's all part of the program. So, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'll give you that opportunity right now. And just pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am lost, and I confess my sin to you. Forgive me for my sin and save my soul. I believe with all my heart that you, Jesus, did die on the cross for me. I believe they placed your body in a tomb, and I believe you rose on the third day. And I trust you, Jesus, as my Savior. come into my heart and save me now. And I thank you. I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. See how simple? This is the deep part. When we, next time we get around, we're going to get to how things got out of order and how Adam set on course the whole world to destruction. And that simple prayer corrects it. Not burning candles, not rubbing beads, not making big offerings, not cutting your skin, not taking the beating on your back. That simple prayer corrects it. That simple prayer with me ended a life. It covered. Now don't confuse cause and effect, because cause and effect is cause and effect. Even though cause and effect of things I had did was still with me, God didn't have a record. When you pray that prayer, your record from that point to the time you exited your mother's womb has been wiped away, and God never reaches back and say, well, back then, before, he don't do that. He don't even discuss that. So, when, and even now, if you do fall into sin, because you're going to, because, you know, especially when you're new in Christ, don't let Satan, just ask God for forgiveness in Jesus' name. Because we're going to get around to talking about what the distinction is, what the difference is, and how all that come about. So with that, I'm leaving y'all. I want somebody to send me at least one email, one more email. I want at least two emails. I want, matter of fact, I'm going to go with the three. I want one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. Send me an email. Just say hi. You don't even have to have a question. Just so I know you're out there listening, you know, because I know on the Saturday broadcast, we're all over the world. And I really, really want to know that y'all are out there. And so with that, I bid you adieu and keep the faith and remember training day and you will succeed. Amen. So. Perfect timing.
It's your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxing or action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you're trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty ish, my plug on that heavy ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? No need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip. But God wrapped his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way. I had the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight.
or all in one day. But he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You want to call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky and make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. That love, I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug, I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
I found a heavenly plug, I found a heavenly plug.
Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Hey, this is Pastor O, and I just want to give you the email address for Minister Richard Overall. You can reach him at overallnet@yahoo.com, overallnet@yahoo.com, or warrior@gmail.com. Amen. God bless you. God keep you.